tolerate each other. And it really all starts with God's tolerance towards us. I was reading this verse yesterday about God's attitudes. He said, But he, being compassionate, this is in Psalm 78, but he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Did not destroy them. Okay, he could have. It was his right, his wrath. It says, and often he restrained his anger. Often God restrained his anger, and he did not arouse all his wrath. And this is so true not only of the Israelites at that time, but it's true of us as well. God hasn't changed. And in God's compassion for us, he forgave all our iniquities, just as he did in the Psalms. His tolerance towards us as sinners, he's restrained his wrath, and he offers us a better path, and that path, of course, is Jesus Christ. So let's stand and worship our God of tolerance, the one who has restrained his anger, forgiven our sin, offered us a way. Praise him this morning.
Good morning, everyone. So I just have two announcements for you today. One is our teen group is going to Feed My Starving Children next Saturday at 7 p.m. If you haven't responded to Chris, please get with him and let him know that is interested in going. He needs a it's free, but he needs to know yesterday. So please let him know before you leave today that you're coming so he has an accurate. And the second thing I wanted to do is I wanted, it's kind of a tradition here at Glen Arbor, is we are sending some of our children off to college. It's that time of year where school is ending. And at the beginning of the summer, I thought, you know, my oldest son, Aaron, said, well, he's going off to college. It's the beginning of the summer. I got 3 or 4 months before that's coming. And I just think that way. It's, oh, I got time. Well, that's next Saturday. So what we wanted to do, anyone who's going off to college, I think Kelsey or you, so I didn't ask the dads if this is okay, this morning, this is the last Sunday, I'm wondering if anyone, if you're up for that, I'd like to have the dads, Abby, Kelsey, and Aaron, like to have you guys come up and pray for them, okay? Megan, I think, is already in school. She's already there, so pray for Megan. All right, so I need Abby, Aaron, Kelsey, here, and George. Did I miss anybody? I think that's all we have going on for school.
Yeah, Lord, just pray that you would be with our kids as they head off to college, and that you would just be guiding every moment of their lives. Bring them into so many different things that can come up, and where you can lead one way or the other. Just pray that you would just be at work in all those events to guide them in the perfect direction. And just pray that you'd be at work in each one of them and cause them to see the right choice to make at that moment. Or, you know, just lead them in that direction one way.
Amen, Lord. I just ask that, as Jim said, just guide our children. Guide them on the path of being adults and decisions. Pray, Lord, that those decisions
God, I pray too for Megan, who's already in school. Bless her. Help her to be comfortable and knit in with the church there. And just a place where she continues to grow in her faith. Thank you, everyone. I show you how far I plan ahead. I put everyone on the spot here, and a lot of people would be pretty uncomfortable speaking or praying. So, this is the time in our service where we're going to take the offering. Honor God first.
All right, good morning again. We're going to miss you guys, the four that are gone or going, but glad that we have some back today from Iowa. Anna's back from Iowa, Lauren's back from Iowa, so give them a big hand for visiting us. We are in the middle of our summer series on being ambassadors in a polarized world. And as you know, we've talked about many controversial topics. Who can remember some of the controversial topics we've talked about? Shout it out. Go ahead. Race? Oh, race, yes. And grace, too. Well, grace is by default, you know. Right, race. Any others that anybody can remember? Politics, yeah. You had one, Ruthie? Politics, yeah. We covered all, you know, sex, politics, race, all those and more. Some of the biggest controversial topics around. And what these topics have shown, if you think about these topics, what these topics have shown is that our world is full of people with very diverse opinions and beliefs and practices and behaviors. That's the world that we live in, if you look at any one of these topics. And all of these topics are becoming more and more polarized and polarizing in society. That's why we're calling this series Ambassadors in a Polarized World. Now, we just came back from a vacation. My August sermon, I always like to tell some stories from my vacation, what I did on my summer vacation during the sermon. And today is no different. We went on a driving vacation this time, kind of through southern Illinois. We stopped at places all on the way and back. And most of our time is in North Carolina, in the mountains of northwest North Carolina. And met family there in Asheville, went to another family wedding by Sugar Mountain, you know, in that area. And so we had a really good time. But one of the days that we spent in the shopping district of Asheville, which is a real touristy type of place, with some of our extended relatives, and Barbara's mother was there with us. Got to be driven out there by Barbara's sister and brother-in-law, so we had a good time all together. But as we were walking around there, you know, she was pretty cold. Hadn't thought about it being colder in Asheville than where they're from. And also the hotel, of course, the hotel was freezing, as hotels sometimes are. And so during our little shopping district excursion one day, they were going to look for shop for a sweater for their mother. So they walked into this Celtic store. Here's a, I actually have a photo that I'll explain why I was so interested in it later. Whoops. Oh, there we go. I actually have a photo. But anyway, they walked, it's irrelevant, except the fact that I have a photo. But they walked in this Celtic store thinking, oh, they'll just buy a nice Scottish sweater for their mother. And as they opened the door to the shop, the lady that was running the store, you could walk in, but then she had the aisle blocked to go to the merchandise. You couldn't get through this block to go to the merchandise. And so they walked into the store and, you know, said, oh, hi, we're here shopping for a sweater for our mother. And the lady basically cut them off. They wouldn't let them go and shop for a sweater in the store. And in so many words, the lady basically told them, you know, they weren't welcome to shop. And so Barbara left. I think her sister talked a little more with the lady. And it, the lady seemed to indicate to Barbara's sister that they just weren't Scottish enough to, you know, be worthy to shop at this merchandise in the store. And think about this. This lady is running a store in the middle of the tourist district of Asheville, North Carolina. Everyone comes there to shop and walk around. It's a fun place. And yet, this lady who owned the store and ran it was highly selective in who she would or would not let shop in her store. She was very intolerant, really, extremely intolerant to anyone who didn't fit her exact ethnic heritage profile of who she wanted to shop in her store. So the question is, this is the world that we live in. And that's kind of a weird example, but you know there's lots of other examples. The question is, how are we to live and interact in such a diverse... wow, this is just not working. Are you doing it for me? No, okay. How are we to even live and act, breathe the same air on this planet as people that are so diverse and so opinionated on so many things? Well, the growing voice in our culture is saying that tolerance is the answer. Tolerance. If we would all just be more tolerant towards each other, is what the culture says. But what does it mean to be tolerant? And when the culture says tolerance is the answer, what do they mean by tolerance? What do they mean by tolerance? And for us as Christians, the most important question that we should ask is, what does God say about tolerance? So all these questions and more will be answered today. Or at least we will look at these questions today. And this is a very critical area of understanding for us as believers in our walk with God and our interaction with people in the church, because we all have differing things in the church that we like or dislike, and also our witness to the world and how we interact with the world. So let's open in prayer, and then we'll look to God this morning. God, we live in an interesting world, Lord, and we bump into so many people with so many beliefs, so many stereotypes, so many opinions about so many things, and behaviors, Lord. And oftentimes there are things that we don't agree with ourselves. Oftentimes, even within the church, we bump into people that are different than us. And we have a hard time, don't know what to do with that sometimes, especially in the world, Lord. And so we just ask that you would teach our hearts today on to have your heart, to have your view on these things, to have your heart towards people, that we might interact with people the way you would and the way you did when you walked on this earth. So we commit ourselves this morning to learn these things. Amen. Let's start by looking at the definition of tolerance. Oxford says the ability or willingness to tolerate the existence of opinions or behavior that one dislikes or disagrees with. Merriam-Webster says sympathy or indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own. These are classic definitions of tolerance, a traditional classic definition of what the word means, what the word tolerance means. And by these definitions, every one of us shows tolerance to each other, right? all around us, because we all have different likes, we all have different dislikes, we all have different opinions, beliefs, and practices. With Barbara's extended family, many of them are from Michigan, and so we are Chicago sports fans, yet many of them are Detroit sports fans. Okay, and we've been married since 1993, so got that right. So as you can imagine, there's been a lot of opportunities to show tolerance towards one another since then. You know, and so in the 90s, when we would visit to help them grow in tolerance, I would always wear my Bulls championship shirt, of which I had many and many opportunities to wear Bulls championship shirts through the 90s when we went to Michigan to visit. And in this century, of course, I've made sure to pull out my Blackhawks Stanley Cup shirts in the appropriate years when we go to visit them. And this last trip to Asheville, I just happened to pack my Chicago Cubs World Series championship shirt that I pulled out, you know. And so I am really helping them grow in tolerance. In fact, on that note, we have some, the men's bathroom in our church here has all these sports posters. Some of you don't even know that, but some of them are really obsolete and old. So Rob, we're trying to upgrade those. So Rob recently bought this one. Look at that, isn't that beautiful? Yeah, 2016 World Series champions. Anyway, so if anyone's a Sox fan here, this will be a little test of tolerance for you. But I'm both. I'm both a Sox fan. You know, that's a really simple, silly example, but that is the way it plays out in so many different areas. Unfortunately, some get much heated, very heated, in the opinions of others and how people react to that. My point is this: by the true definition of tolerance, we're all tolerant in many ways. Otherwise, we would all have hurt each other by now if we weren't tolerant towards one another. And because we all have different opinions. So the question is God tolerant? And so now we're going to ask that question. At this level, we can answer this question with a resounding yes, that God is tolerant. Otherwise, we would all be dead if God was not tolerant. There's no way that we would even be breathing right now if God was not tolerant. He created us with free will. The way He created us, He allows us to exist with differing opinions of His. And He restrains His wrath, like we talked about at the beginning of the service. He bears with our foolishness. He bears with our sinfulness for a time, with our unholiness, at least in this world, this time. And let's just look at these verses about God's character. Verse 1, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's patient with sinners, wanting them to come to repentance. Next one, Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God showed forbearance and patience with you, and it's the riches of His kindness, not wanting you, intending to lead you to repentance, to be drawn to Him by His kindness, His forbearance, His patience. The last one in Romans we'll look at is God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed before Him. These, by definition, patience, forbearance, are the terms of classic definition of tolerance. This is the theology of God's character, of His love. It led one evangelical pastor to declare, "No one is more tolerant than God. No one is more tolerant than God." Imagine how holy and perfect He is, how sinful we were. And He brought down His Son to die for us. So, are we to be tolerant? That's the next question. So how about us as followers of God? Are we to be tolerant? Well, the answer is obvious. We are called to be tolerant of people who differ from us. Why? Because God is tolerant of people. That's why. And we're called to imitate God. We're to strive to have His character, His love towards people. Let's look at this verse, Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. Therefore, because you are God's chosen people, because God is holy, and because He dearly loves you, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. These are virtues. Over all these, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is how we, as followers of Christ, are to walk. God is our bar in how we are to think and act towards other people. We are to be patient with others because God is patient with us. We are to be kind to people because God is kind to us. We are to bear with each other because God showed forbearance, extreme forbearance towards us. We're to forgive because God forgave us. We're to love because God loved us and loves us. Well, back to Asheville, when I heard about this intolerant Celtic storekeeper, I was intrigued. It's just kind of the way I am when I hear about some weird situation like that. I'm like, I got to check it out. You know, that's just kind of the way I am. And so my kids and I walked into the same store. We were like, we're going to try this. We're going to see if we can sneak in. And, I want to know, how does this lady tick? What is she all about? Because I had never run into any situation like this before. So my kids and I went into the store, and she stopped us cold, you know. Jonathan started walking towards the barrier. She was like, yeah, or whatever. And Jonathan's like, whoa. And threatened just a little bit. And so anyway, I started talking to her to try and figure out what her deal was, try to understand her a little bit. And, it was more of a game, more of a curiosity for me. But what finally broke through is Jonathan, out of the corner of his eye, he saw a bagpipe learner's kit in a box on one of the shelves. And he's like, that's a bagpipe learner's kit? And she was like, yes. And he's like, could I buy that? I'm really interested in that. And she started talking to him, and she recognized his, you know, because Jonathan's like a collector of instruments. He loves, whenever we go on vacation, he loves to buy a new interesting instrument that he doesn't have and learn it. And so he was like, wow, this is a way I can start to learn the bagpipes. And so she recognized his authentic interest and genuineness and his interest in this bagpipe learner's kit. And the result was that she just talked our ears off about bagpipes and what a fine young man Jonathan was for wanting to learn the bagpipes. And, you know, that when he goes to college, there's bagpipe clubs at many colleges. He could join and learn the art of bagpipe and compete with all these other college clubs. And they're the best people to interact with and to join. And she just went on and on, like 45 minutes, and, you know. And even though we weren't Scottish, it was good. We passed, you know. We were good enough because of his genuine interest in Scottish bagpipes. So she sold us something, the merchandise. She sold us a bagpipe learner's kit. So it was interesting. So Jonathan's tolerance of this lady really paid off because he scored this prize musical instrument. But often we don't forbear with others who are not like us, and we actually do exhibit ungodly behaviors towards others. We need to examine our lives, examine our hearts, and how we think about those people that are different than us. Because there's a lot of people in this world, in this county, that are different than you. Different than you. We interact with them all the day, all the time, at school, at work, at the public pool, at the store. Everywhere we go, we interact with people who are very different than us. And so we need to just do a little assessment of our heart towards people that we run into that are different than us. And how do we think? How do we act? Here's a way, some ways that you may have not have thought about that you can be intolerant. And we'll just just go through this list one by one. Make ignorant assumptions of what others believe without true knowledge. It's so easy just to, at first glance, just assume the way this person is without even knowing them or without even knowing what they believe. Next one is accept gossip about others. Next one is harbor bad attitudes towards others. To exclude others just because they're different than you, or to avoid them because they're not like you, or to marginalize them in some way. To treat people poorly, to look at people as lower than you. Have you ever thought that? Oh, well, they're lower than you. You know, you may not have vocalized that, but that may be really what your heart is saying to you about someone. That's being intolerant. Discriminating against others. And finally, the last one is acting out in violence. And yesterday we heard, and if you watched the news yesterday, of the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, where protesters and counter-protesters erupted into violence. And one person was killed, many others were injured. And that's what happens when we're not treating people right. Intolerant. When we do these types of things, we're in sin. We're not walking according to God's way. We're not walking according to God's will, His heart, or His love towards people. And we really need to repent. We need to start thinking and treating people properly, valuing them, respecting them. True tolerance, in many ways, is the opposite of prejudice. And Jesus summarized this in what some call the golden rule, right? You've heard of the golden rule. Said, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. In other words, this is a big deal. This sums up the law and the prophets. This is a big deal. Do to others what you would have them do to you. This would flow naturally out of us obeying and following the greatest two commandments. Love God and love our neighbor. If we're doing that, we're going to be fulfilling this command as well. Others the way you have them treat you, to do to others what you would have them do to you. So, many of you might be wondering, is this the end of the story? You know, I could stop the sermon right now and it would be complete and whole, and that would, you know, in and of itself. But there is more to the story, and the reason we need to go on is because in our society, there is an issue of semantics, and there is an issue that certain segments of our culture have greatly changed the traditional definition of tolerance. So the classic definition of tolerance has been redefined in many segments of our culture today in this millennium. The word tolerance now doesn't just mean to tolerate the existence of people's beliefs if you don't agree with them, but now what the secular culture says is that we need to be tolerant of one another. What we really need to do is accept them and agree with their beliefs, or we're intolerant. That's the new, what I'm calling the neo-tolerant definition, to accept what people believe and to agree with them. That's really what society in some segments is saying right now. It's you're okay, I'm okay, everyone's okay in what they do and what they think. And if you don't believe that, you're not tolerant. And it's really, this is a step beyond tolerance to agree that a person's belief is okay even if it's different than yours. And so anyway, God does not tolerate in this way. God is not tolerant in this way. In fact, as soon as Jesus preached golden rule that we just looked at, the next verse, the next thing he said in Matthew 7 was, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Wait a minute, that's awfully narrow-minded, isn't it? Isn't that awfully narrow-minded? It is. In fact, he even uses the word narrow. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the road that leads to what? Destruction. That means that whatever everybody believes, what everybody does, is not correct. It's going, many things are going to lead people to destruction. and many enter that way, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, God is intolerant of sin. In fact, he wouldn't be loving if he wasn't intolerant of sin. He wouldn't be a loving God if he was not intolerant of sin. It would be like a parent letting their kid play out in a busy street and say, oh, I want to be tolerant of my child's belief that he's safe, so I'll let him play out the street, even though it's very busy. That parent would be very tolerant, but their kid would probably get hurt. And so the parent needs to be very intolerant of that kid's belief and pick them up from the middle of the street where cars are buzzing by and move them to a safe place. And that's the way it is with God. It's out of his love for us that he's intolerant of sin and the things that lead to destruction. It drove him to send his one and only son to die on the cross because he knew that there'd be no other way to save us from an eternity of destruction. God didn't just turn a blind eye to sin. He didn't just turn a blind eye to sin and say, you're okay, you know, you can still go to heaven even though you're a sinner. He didn't do that. He didn't turn a blind eye to sin. He, out of love, provided a solution, a way to eternal salvation, a way away from destruction. Barbara and I, when we were in Asheville, we decided to do a little bit of a, we had a few hours one late afternoon after her relatives left, and I'm like, come on, let's go to a mountain and hike. You know, because you drive 20 minutes anywhere and you're in a mountain, great hikes. It doesn't matter where. We asked the people that live there, you know, what's the best place to go to hike? Like, anywhere. It's awesome anywhere. So anyway, so I looked stuff up on these hiking websites and found, oh, it's kind of late in the afternoon. There's only a place about a 20-minute drive away in this little town, a mountain, in this little town called Montreat, North Carolina. And so we drove out there just because it was close to Asheville, and we're like, wow, this is like a Christian. This was a Christian conference center. We drove in, and we're like, wow, there's like a Christian college here. And wow, there's a plaque that like Ruth Bell Graham used to help out, and Billy Graham donated to this college. And we're like, wow, this is cool. So we did our hike up this mountain, beautiful view. And then later, when we came back, we were interested in the Grahams Association, and we discovered that Billy Graham is actually living there right now. We drove like right by his road that leads up to his house in going to the path to climb up this mountain. So that's where Billy Graham is living out the last days of his life, in this beautiful mountain in North Carolina. Man, I want to move there. I don't know why I live in the flatlands of Chicago. It's unbelievable. I can see why Billy chose that place to live. And but anyway, Billy Graham, I was interested, what did Billy Graham say about tolerance? Because he was pretty tolerant in his ministry. You know, he's a pretty good example of tolerance. And, so what did Billy Graham say? Here's some words I found. He said, in some things, Christ was the most tolerant, broad-minded man who ever lived. But in other things, he was one of the most intolerant. He was tolerant towards the sinner, but intolerant towards the evil that enslaves the sinner. That should be our MO as Christians as well, to love people the way God loves them. But to do that, we must be intolerant of sin and the things that will lead a person to destruction and will harm them. So this neo-tolerance, this definition of neo-tolerance that pervades our culture. Again, when we were shopping in Asheville, we ran into this. My sons came out and said, oh, Dad, you got to check out this sign. And I was like, oh, that'll fit my message when we get back to vacation. So this was a sign in a store. I think it was a knitting store where they buy yarn and sit around and knit. And it says that Pearls, we believe in the, this is right over there, all over the place when you walk in the store. At Pearls, we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Our stitch groups are a space of acceptance and community. Please keep conversation friendly and non-judgmental. If you cannot agreeably speak about topics of difference, religion, politics, sexuality, child rearing, jam bands, etc. If you cannot agreeably speak about topics of indifference, you should find other things to talk about. And it's got those coexist symbols that Greg talked about recently in one of his messages. And on the surface, the sign seems okay. You know, a lot of the things seem nice and virtuous and all that. But the way this plays out in the culture is via a neo-tolerance screen and a neo-tolerance filter. And so if you just even voice your own belief, you're not even judging somebody, you're just voicing what you believe, you will instantly be labeled as intolerant and hateful just by voicing your belief. Even if you're the most loving person and you're wise about your communication, you're careful about the way you're interacting with people, if you just voice what you believe, you will be, by this sign, labeled, and by just the culture behind this sign, labeled as intolerant and hateful. It's really turning tolerance on its head is what it is. It's turning tolerance on its head, and you will see this in your high schools. I know many of you do already that are high school students. You see this in the colleges that you go to, the college culture, the college communities, and you'll see this in the workplace. I've seen it in my workplace, boy, just a ton. And to my shame, I keep quiet most of the time because I don't want to endure the wrath. You'll see it everywhere you go in this society. So as a Christian, if we are truly living out our faith, it's inevitable that some segments of the culture are going to backlash against you. You should not be surprised when that happens. That is what will happen if you're living out your faith. And don't think that you can avoid it unless you just hide yourself and lock yourself up somewhere. So what is a Christian to do in our culture? And I'll close with this, it's just a few things. Number one, to be tolerant of people, first of all. Make sure, first of all, just to set off to the right foot, make sure you are above reproach in the way you treat people at all times. Don't open your mouth about anything else if you're not treating people well, because you're going to do more harm than good. Make sure that you are tolerant of people. Don't be guilty of being unloving towards people. Number two, don't be tolerant of sin. Don't compromise the truth. People do need to turn from sin. They need to recognize that they're sinful. They need to turn to Jesus from their sin and false beliefs. We should never hide this. Otherwise, we're not loving them if we just let them continue to play in the street, in the busy street. We're not being loving. But we do need to be wise about how we communicate. In fact, it'd be great if we did a whole workshop on that point, how to be wise about communicating this point in intolerance towards sin to people in our culture. Maybe we will someday. Number three, love those who mislabel you as intolerant. Don't be surprised if you're called intolerant. Don't be surprised if people turn on you and call you hateful and insult you. Don't return insult in kind. That's not God's way to return insult in kind. In fact, what Jesus said to do when we're mistreated and insulted and maybe even persecuted to some degree, what Jesus told us to do is this. And the last verse we'll look at today is Luke 6. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. If someone mislabels you as intolerant, bless them instead. If someone says that you're hateful and turns on you, do good to them, regardless of the insult that you're receiving. Pray for those who mistreat you. You're mistreated at school by your classmates because of what you believe or at work. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. This is God's way. This is God's will of our interaction in this world and this culture of neo-tolerance. May we, his followers, have the strength to forbear with people, to be patient with people, to love people the way God does at all times, and to not hide from the truth, and to not be afraid to share that truth with them. They may come to Jesus this week. Let's pray. Father, we tell you that it's a thorny issue to walk in this culture, and it's scary, and often we're just kind of afraid often we just kind of stay silent rather than be willing to share, be bold in sharing your truth, your gospel. But people need to know the good news about you, Jesus. They need to know that they're lost. And they need to know that you love them so much that you sent a Savior. Lord, help us to be bold in sharing that in loving ways. Lord, help us to never be guilty of being unloving. And if we are, to repent and ask for apology quickly, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to remember to do that, Lord. But at the same time, to share your truth with them, that they might turn to you, Lord. Broad is the way of destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Jesus, thank you that you've drawn us to yourself, Lord, Father. And we ask that you use us to draw many to you, the way we treat people, the way we love people, the way we share people. May everybody in this room.